And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, especially in Boulders Point and all parts Nova Scotia and all parts wherever you are. I hope you're enjoying the day. And we are here. It is wet, but oh, the plants look beautiful. They're so happy. They're green and rich and know that the sun will return and they will grow some more. My weeds are 3 feet high now. They are very happy. It's Carol, and it is time for Arts Live and Local. Big thanks to all our supporters, and thanks to you, all of our listeners, whom I hope are supporters as well. Got a very full show. Going to start right out with a little music from Catherine Clare, and I'm going to dedicate this to all the forest flowers out there. That's the name of the piece, The Forest Flower, including all those who are being celebrated on Mother's Day, whether you're the mother of a human, of an animal, of the forest, whatever kind of creativity you manifest. Thanks for being here, folks. Arts Live and Local. Violin of Catherine Clare. Of course, she plays so many instruments, but this time we've got her on violin. And why am I playing her? Because this very evening you can hear her music and have a delicious dinner at Baked Alaska. You need to call them right now at 503-325-7414 for the details and the price and all kinds of good stuff. It starts at 6 o'clock, so give a call right now. And then you can listen in to the rest of the show. And my first guest is here, up from, I don't remember, where do you live?
I'm in Manzanita.
You are in Manzanita. Yep. Okay, and that's where the event is happening as well. My guest is Karen Reddick-Yurka, who is the executive director of the fabulous Cardam Is the official name Cardam Recycling or Cardam?
It's Cardam.
Just Cardam.
Just Cardam. But okay, we go by Cardam Recycling. That's what we're known for.
Yeah, because people need to know what the heck is Cardam. Cardam
right.
is all capitalized, C-A-R-T-M. No apostrophe. Makes it really easy, but you do have to know what it is. Well, it's a fantastic place, and Karen will tell you about it, but she's here today also because the Trash Art Show is coming up.
Woohoo!
Very soon, actually. It is the 19th through the 21st. That starts a week from today, a week from tonight. But that first night is very special, and I'm going to let Karen talk about it. It's the 20th anniversary of Cardam.
It is.
That's fantastic.
We've been a nonprofit organization for 20 good long years. We're looking forward to the next 20.
Absolutely.
But at this moment in time, we are celebrating this moment in time. That's just the way to do it.
Exactly. God knows, especially in these times. But I wonder whether the folks who started Cardam knew that they were innovators and that they were going to be around forever, because it's an idea that was started 20 years ago and now it's everywhere.
It was actually, the nonprofit was started 20 years ago, the official organization, but the plucky band of volunteers actually started recycling as a project of the city of Manzanita. They had a little tiny budget, I think 1989 or 1990, were actually collecting recycling on the city parking lot a couple days a week until the opportunity arose to move to the transfer station. So now we're on Tillamook County property operating the transfer station.
And, you know, that term transfer station, what is...
Well, I'll make a long story brief if I can. Back in the day, people used to just push garbage off the edge of the cliff or over the hill or in the back 40.
Yeah.
And they were just called dumps. And in the 1980s, Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, and the state legislature determined that that wasn't a good idea anymore. And they started, closed all of the local landfills and started regional landfills and transfer stations. And the idea was people would bring garbage to a transfer station where it would be loaded into containers instead of onto the ground, transported to a regional landfill. So we are now a transfer station. We just transfer garbage. We don't actually dump it on site.
Okay. So, we'll save the rest of my questions for somebody else somewhere else. But unfortunately, there's still a lot of spots where I live where people just drive up, look around, nobody there, and throw
up. It happens everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking stoves and televisions and all kind, plus garbage.
And,
so,
you know, the sad thing is all of that material, most of those kinds of materials can be reused. Mm-hmm. They can be recycled or reused. And we save a lot of energy and we save the intrinsic value of the material. We don't have to cut down any more mountaintops in order to get that material if we just keep it in circulation.
Absolutely. Plus, sure looks a hell of a lot better. Pardon me. So, speaking of looking better, the Trash Art Show.
The Trash Art Show. We are so excited. This is our 19th Trash Art Show. It's the very first public event that Cardam held after it became an organization and moved to the transfer station location. It's a celebration of the value of materials. And what we really like to do is look at things in a new way, as all artists do. You take something and make something completely new and different out of it. And so we never know exactly what's coming in the door because it's always a surprise. But we typically have mosaics, we have stained glass, we have encaustics, we have collages. It's amazing what people come up with.
So, are there parameters? Are there things they can do, can't do, in order to qualify?
There are. It's not a curated show, but as long as the art piece fits through a standard door,
yes, that's right,
and is made primarily or substantially out of repurposed, recycled, upcycled, reused materials, it qualifies.
I love it. Yeah. It fits through the door.
It's got to fit through the door.
Yeah, and I remember when you said that after left, because I remember we mentioned this last year, and I remembered the door.
Right.
That
there was
part
a door.
Of a show one time.
There was.
Yeah,
there was a beautiful door.
It fit through the door. So the show is the 19th through the 21st, is next week. And now, does that mean folks have already turned in all the stuff that's going to be shown? Or
no. Oh. We have four or five pieces that have been turned in a little bit early, but there's still time if people have art. Yes.
Okay.
The intake day is Wednesday the 17th, mm-hmm. between 2 and 6 p.m. at the NCRD Gallery in Nehalem.
Okay. And is that where the show is going to be?
That's where
too?
The show is,
So
yes.
It's an indoor show.
It's an indoor show in Nehalem, yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So it does have to fit through the
it
door.
It has to fit through
obviously.
A door.
Okay. And that is Nehalem 9th Street. So you do have to go down there, or one of your friends has to deliver the art in person.
Right.
On Wednesday the 17th. And what happens on Friday night? I know that's a special night.
Friday is the ticketed opening party with the artists. So if you are an artist that has work in the show, you get to have a party on us. We've got delicious food, and we've got a little bit of beer and wine to sample. And it's the first chance to see all of the art, to see and buy the art. It's from 5 to 7. At the NCRD Gallery, that's North Coast Recreation District, who is a fabulous partner for this show. And we will have the doors open and the art hung, and it's a wonderful time. And I hope everyone can come.
And they do have to get the tickets in advance.
They do have to get tickets in advance.
How do they do that?
They are available at Cardam. Or through an, I can give you an email address, and that's probably the best. It's Trash Art Show. That's all one word, Trash Art Show at Cardam, CARTM.org.
Okay.
And so we will have tickets waiting and we'll call for them.
That's terrific.
Yep.
Okay. So people can get them in advance. And that's Friday night, ticketed.
Right.
However, Saturday and Sunday, let's see, Saturday is 10 to 4.
Right.
And Sunday is 10 to 1.
Right.
And that is open to the public.
Open to the public. Free.
Okay. And it's a blast. You don't have to buy things, but you may be tempted.
Right.
And everything there is for sale? Is
everything
that right?
is for sale. It's okay. a fundraiser for Cardam.
It is. Okay. Yep. And the artists have a blast, obviously.
They do.
And then get to party on Friday night. I love it. Now, what is happening at 1 o'clock? Something's happening on Sunday.
So
the sidewalk sale?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, we're crazy, but
yeah,
we decided to do two events in the same weekend.
That's what's confusing me.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Cardam's official birthday is May 23rd, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And we are having a birthday party on Sunday at Cardam, Sunday the 21st at Cardam. We're having a sidewalk sale with 1997 prices. And we're having a birthday cake and live music, and it should be a lot of fun.
So that's at Cardam.
That's at Cardam in
Manzanita.
Which is
in Manzanita. Yeah. Okay, so it's just down the road from Nehalem. So you can go to Nehalem for the Trash Art Show, if you haven't been yet, at 10 a.m. on Sunday. And then that's from 10 to 1 only. And then head to Manzanita for the birthday party.
Yes.
And so all of the stuff, the fabulous stuff that you have at Cardam will be for sale at 1997 prices?
Well, as close as we can imagine to what 1997 prices were.
How much have your prices gone up, I wonder?
You know, not a lot. We've got an awful lot of stuff for 25, 50 cents a dollar, $2, $5.
Is the specialty shop going to be open that day?
Yes, our whole facility will be open. So you can recycle your stuff. You can shop in the refinery.
Refinery, right.
Yep. But we'll also have a big tent out in the back we're calling a sidewalk sale. It's actually on the back lot, but it'll be an outdoor sale.
Okay, this is wonderful. The website for Cardam is just cartm.org.
Cartm.org. Right.
CARTM.org. I highly recommend it. There's always something going on there. And this is a group of innovators and fun-loving people, hard-working people. And now we have the 19th Annual Trash Art Show. So get your tickets for Friday night if you wish. That's from 5 to 7. Remember, everything is a fundraiser for Cardam, for the environment. And then Saturday and Sunday are free to the public. And this, come celebrate the 20th anniversary of Cardam.
Thank you so much, Carol. I really appreciate being on the air with you again.
Well, I really appreciate your taking the helm, and I love Cardam. I've gotten artwork there, as you know.
I do know. I know exactly one piece that you have. I remember clearly.
I've got several pieces in my house and outside, and then also my stop sign from way back.
Oh, you have that too.
I have a stop sign from Cardam as well, a real one. So thanks so much for doing this, and a very, very happy birthday.
Thank you so much. We hope to see you there on Sunday.
Okay. Right. Thanks. Cardam. Wow. Oh, I should have asked her where the name came from, but I think we can probably figure that out. And so let's just do that. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think I'm going to play you another Well, the first one was The Forest, and this one is called Strange, Dangerous Flower by Louis Ledford, who's playing the Sou'wester on May 13th. That's this Saturday. That'll be tomorrow, folks. Stay tuned, Coast Community Radio, Arts Live and Local, and have a listen.
Sounds like they're coming through the wall. While I'm striking a chord, somebody's banging on the board. It sounds to me this old building is falling apart. Why does it always fall on me? Standing there as big as air, and still I didn't see where lies the guilt and the responsibility? Say, gee, I'm on my ass and seeing stars. So just smoke your cigarettes and forget about the danger. And don't worry about the cancer, all the questions with no answers. And you just smile a toothsome grin and pretend it doesn't matter as you learn to live without her. Your strange, dangerous flower. It takes a lot of nerve to lecture me after I gave you everything you need. And I'm leaving you now. And if you want to know the reasons, I'm sad and tired and I can't take anymore. When you said you did it all for me, I find that so hard to believe. As I recall, you also said to me that maybe we were meant to be together. I said whatever made me fall in love with you. as I stood and spied your pictures on the wall. You right there beside, so full of pride. I wanted you more than anything I know, but I got nothing to show, and I can't let you go. So just smoke your cigarette and forget about the danger. Don't worry about the cancer, all the questions with no answers. And you just smile a toothsome grin and pretend it doesn't matter as you learn to live without her. Your strange, dangerous flower, as you learn to live without her. Your strange, dangerous flower.
Yeah, Louis Ledford. I really like his music. And he's going to be at the Sou'wester, along with so much else. Boy, they sure put on a lot of shows. And speaking of shows, it's the second Saturday, and that means it is time for the second Saturday Art Walk, because that's how it works. And I have two fabulous guests here in the studio. Why are they fabulous? Well, first of all, they're terrific artists. Actually, I have to admit, that isn't first of all. First of all, they're terrific people. I have Jen Lowry and Carol Smith here with me. And what's also very special is that we just had a little reunion, because we haven't seen Jen in a long time. And so we are delighted that you're back in town. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Carol. I'm delighted to be here.
Good. And we're all old friends. And Jen and Carol are both wonderful artists, different mediums. Carol is a photographer, and Jen is a printmaker. But everybody does a little of everything. Why don't you grab that mic while we're at it, too? Yeah, because you never know. You might want to pipe in on something. But I'm gonna start with finding out. Jen's got a show at Imogen Gallery, which is on 11th and Marine Drive. And you've titled it Field Notes, Monotype Prints. And why don't you tell us a little bit about it? You live in Central Oregon now.
We relocated last August. I was a child of Eastern Washington and grew up with big open spaces and, you know, landscapes that look bare when you first looked at them, but the longer you looked, the more luxurious and rich they appeared. They're sort of Asian in that regard. I mean, just very beautiful lines. And so after many, many years here in Astoria, we moved to have a new adventure. And I entitled my show Field Notes because the longer I work in my studio, which is located in my home, and I have a press and tables and all of that, the more times I would hear my former teacher, Royal Nebuchadnezzar, sort of talking to me. And I'm sure I'm not the only printmaker that has that experience while they're working away. I'm sure he has a route he takes. But Royal years ago put out this 13 points, how to be an explorer of the world. And he said, notice the large things, notice the small things, engage with your environment in a variety of ways. And very close to my house, I have this dry canyon that goes for 10 miles. Mm. And I have loved walking through that every day, just noticing the subtle and the big changes. And so it's Field Notes because it influenced my prints for this show in such big ways. In terms of palette and in terms of line and composition. So that's why.
Boy, that's powerful. And I'm going to stay with you, Jin, but I am going to just toss that out, Carol. Does that sound like exactly what you have in mind when you're doing your photography?
I would love to see that dry canyon.
Yeah.
Well, and also hear more about Royals.
Yeah.
13 points.
I will get those to you.
Thank you.
Me too. That's fantastic. Yeah. And I think we should have a party in Bend. What do you think, Carol?
I have a guest room.
I have a guest room.
Don't tell the whole radio
audience. Hello, radio audience.
We're having a party right here. Yeah. That's terrific. So now, I know you have a beautiful sense of color. Have you found that it's changed living where you do now?
It has changed some. There's a lot. You see a lot more oranges and reds and deeper colors. I wouldn't say they're always brighter, but they're deeper, and there's maybe a little more contrast, perhaps. Although that's, when I think about two pieces, that's not true at all. So you'll have to come see.
Absolutely. Let me remind folks again, I'm talking to Jin Lowry, who's opening her show Field Notes at Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive. Both of my artists, I like that. Both of the artists here are opening their shows for Astoria Art Walk tomorrow evening, and the art walk is from 5 to 8. The shows, however, will be up all month if you can't make it, but it really would be lovely to get there tomorrow night and be able to talk with the artists as well, especially since I doubt that Jin's going to stick around for the whole month.
That's true.
So, and we can't all fit in her guest room at the same time. So, yeah, well, that will be interesting, though, to see, because I've been a fan of your work. I have a lot. You send your cards all over the world.
Thank you.
Those wonderful colors, abstractions. And then you mentioned, though, some more literal interpretation.
There are a few pieces that are clearly, I would say, landscapes that one might recognize. And although people look at my work and they say, oh, that's Lake Billy Chinook.
Oh,
that's the Dalles. Uh-huh. Oh, that's, because everybody brings their own experience to their eyes when they're looking at a piece of art. Just some of them seem more concrete, I think, than others. Mm-hmm. Others are a little more elusive. Mm-hmm. So just in that regard.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on having the show, and thank you so much for coming back and for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful. Now, Carol Smith, as I mentioned, is a photographer, among other things, as with Jen. And this show is titled, I love this, Puertas y Perros, Adventures in El Salvador. So, and one picture that I did see, was that a little dog curled up
chair? His name is Qual. Many people know Qual because he lives at a pension where we stayed on my trip in January. And boy, does that dog have personality.
and is very photogenic as well. Yep. So you were in El Salvador for something special. What was that about?
I was on a humanitarian trip that my son invited me on. There were about 12 of us, and we were doing some public health infrastructure work and some education work and meeting families, and I sure did love those pupusas that they cook.
Mm.
Many different versions of that dish.
Mm.
I need to learn how to make that myself.
Yes, for the potluck that we're having in Bend.
Yes.
Go on.
Perfect.
Exactly.
So on this trip, I did have a lot of time to take pictures, and there was just some joking around that because of the street dogs, and we all were taking pictures of these beautiful old colonial doors. They're so iconic. You just can sense the history, even though it's unspoken. And so we were just joking. We should do some art shows called Puertas y Perros. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing it. Now, this is, and obviously, you haven't figured it out yet, folks, that's doors and dogs in Spanish. How's your Spanish these days, Carol?
It's improving, but I can't roll my R's the way you can.
I noticed that, but that's okay. You'll practice. and if you're there, it kind of comes if you let it. So these are from Santa Cruz in El Salvador, or what part of El Salvador?
I was traveling with a group called Santa Cruz El Salvador these are folks mostly from Santa Cruz in California.
Oh, I see. That was the
Santa Cruz connected to El Salvador. It was a ministry of accompaniment where we meet people where they are and they tell us how we can help.
So, did you travel in El Salvador, or were you in one place?
We were in several places.
Several places. Mm-hmm. Okay. So these puertos come from various parts.
Places. Okay. And we were in some deep country, and we visited a coffee finca, which I have a beautiful picture from that coffee finca.
Nice. Wonderful. Okay. These are two of the shows that will be available tomorrow evening from 5 to 8 in Astoria during the Art Walk. Carol's show is at Tempo Gallery, which is on Commercial between 12th and 14th, I believe.
Just down from the Liberty, next door to Old Town.
Old Town Framing. And Jin's field notes are at Imogen on 11th and Marine Drive. Let me just mention that there are many other galleries and shops that are showing. Gala on Marine Drive has the Act of Resistance with many local artists. Riversea Gallery has a double, as usual. They have the Print Arts Northwest, and also Mark O'Malley. And the Print Arts Northwest is featuring the birds. Hope is the etc., the feathers, etc. And Winecraft has six local artists and the Swing Cats. Bumble Art Studio has children's arts and crafts. Astoria Visual Arts, AIR, that's Artist in Residence, is Andy Sterling, is showing on 11th Street. Forsythia is featuring Annie Escalin. Luminary featuring George Carruth and musicians, Birds of a Feather. And at the Chariot, a brand new gallery, happens every week, it seems. It's in the Astor Hotel, 1421 Commercial. Renee Rowe is having her first official show. It's 2 days only, so you need to catch it either Saturday or Sunday with her abstracts and landscapes. And that's what's happening tomorrow night, among so much else. But catch that. Anything else you want to add to that?
I am just amazed at how many venues there are now for art, and I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, I think we do.
And if I could just say quickly, Tempo shares space with the Music Festival, and yes, tickets are now available.
Right, for the Music Festival, mm-hmm, which is happening June, I think it's 10 to 26th. I'm not quite sure, but you can find that out by checking on the web, or just go over to Tempo Gallery and check out the Music Festival office as well. Thanks for a reminder. Okay. Congratulations to you both. I look forward
Carol.
To seeing the work.
Yeah, thanks
Bye-bye.
So much.
And I have some music from Summer Osborne, who is going to be in Astoria sometime. She's going to be during the Pride block party on June 10th, and she may be playing before that as well. Summer Osborne, Coast Community Radio. Happy Mother's Day.
any situation. I make sure that my character's not dependent on your mood. You can rain on my parade, I'll play in the battle that you made, and I am not afraid to be the only apple on the orange tree. Besides, the sun always shines on the inside of my mind. You should try it. You just might like it. There's nothing more, there's nothing less. What you see is what you get. I will not wait around while you try to figure me out. I will not apologize for needing less and wanting more. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't like to play inside the lines. I can't stand to be confined to the typical political, boring analytical, but this is too integral to be so goddamn critical. And I don't have to know the hows or whys. I just do what I do and mold it into lots of loads of joys. I'm multiplying the love in you and watch it all divide into a million points of gratitude. And I swear you'll be amused. So tell me what is real and tell me how do you feel, and don't fight it.
Yeah, Summer Osborne, she is terrific. She was here before. Thank you, Margaret. And we'll be watching for her in June. Hey, the Pride celebration is coming up in June. And that's the 9th to the 11th, I believe. Yeah, and Summer will be there. There'll be so much going on that weekend. It's going to be very exciting. And something very exciting that's coming here that I believe this is a first, but I'm going to let my guests tell you. My guests are Kylie Witherby and Dylan Puloff. Did I get it right?
It's close enough, close, yeah.
How do you say it?
Puloff.
Puloff. Okay. It's spelled P-L-O-G-H-O-F-T. Good luck, folks. Okay. These are two students from the Astoria High School Honors English class, and I'm going to just give you the name of what's happening and let them tell you what it's about. Astoria High School Cultural Conversations with Community Storytellers. And they are going to be talking about all kinds of populations right here in our community. This is happening Wednesday, the 17th, that's this coming week, from 4 to 5:30 at Astoria High School in the library, I believe. Yeah. And everyone is welcome. It's open to the public. It sounded fantastic to me. I started reading everything that was transgender, Indian, Hispanic, law enforcement, Buddhist, growing up during the Cold War, and lots more. What's going on here? What prompted this? Where did this come from? I've never heard of anything like this.
So basically, our English teacher did some research on like human libraries, which is there's like a group of people all pretty diverse with their own story. And the humans are like the books, and you kind of get to check out which book you want to find out about. And it's about challenging prejudice within different, like, social norms.
Yeah, breaking that stereotype.
So who's your English teacher?
Jenny Newton.
Oh, what a surprise. Of course. Jenny brings wonderful things to our community with our high school students. So how long have you been working on it? And did you choose different groups of people to talk about? And are you, the students, going to be doing the talking, or have you other people? See, I really know very little, so go for it, Dylan.
Well, the person that we've been working on it for a couple of weeks now, probably about 3 or 4 weeks, and we all kind of picked, we're in partners or by ourselves, we picked, you know, different people we wanted to interview. I'm interviewing Wendy Hemsley. She works at a drug and addiction rehab center. She's the director.
So what kind of stuff are you interviewing? What are you asking her? And then Is she going to be there with you?
Yeah. All of our speakers will be there with us, and you talk to them, like, personally.
Oh, wow. This is fantastic. And we, the audience, get to observe the interview. Now, how did you choose this particular person, and how are you coming up with your questions?
Well, me and my partner, we chose this. I know Wendy, you know, personally. She's, and I, you know, we're kind of thinking of something we could do. And, you know, addiction's very common, and there's a lot of people that struggle with it, and we kind of wanted to get, you know, kind of spread that out. And the questions we asked her kind of just like, we came up with them, something that we think maybe someone that will be there might ask her, or someone, if they had questions about addiction or around that long, is that something they might ask her.
Now, is that something, did you get your first, was that your first choice, was to interview Wendy?
So, yeah.
So each of you, how about you, Kylie? What are you doing? How did you decide?
Mine kind of almost contradicts his. It's, we picked someone, she doesn't live in state, so we're going to have to Skype her during this event, but she uses medical marijuana for migraines. And we, this wasn't necessarily our first choice because it's kind of a, how do you, like a conflict. It's kind of a, not a norm you hear about a lot, but we decided.
Wait, I'm sorry. What is not the norm? People using medical marijuana?
Some of, in this, like, in our school, it's a little bit.
Oh, in your school, for sure.
Yeah.
Right, right. I see what you're saying in terms of young people, but there are many, many people. Okay. And how did you find this particular person?
She's actually a relative of my partner.
Okay, okay. And you and your partner came up with the questions. Now, did you speak to her about, in advance, about what you're going to be asking?
Yes, we did. We all had to do like a process, like a letter of invitation, and then we had to do interviews so that they'll be prepared for questions that people are going to ask them at the event.
And tell us, I mentioned a few things, but how many of the students are involved? I notice you each have a partner. Does everybody work in twos?
Most people are working in twos, but there's a few people flying solo.
Okay. So how many students are involved in this?
Well, it's between two orange classes, and there's, I think, about 40 or so.
I think 40 students?
Around there, yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think today Ms. Newton told us that we have 27 speakers, I think. So.
Wow, fantastic. And it's only scheduled for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Sounds like it could go on for, it sounds fascinating, too. Can you give us some of the other people who are going to be coming? Well, you don't need to give me names, but some of the subjects,
there's
some of the people.
There's a pretty wide variety. There's people surviving, like, the Cold War. I believe there's, like, World War II survivor.
Oh, wow.
There's various members of the LGBT community, and there's just so many different topics. I believe there's mental health topics.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I commend you all for taking this on. It sounds fascinating. And I highly recommend to our community, to the listeners in our community, please spread the word. This is happening on Wednesday, the 17th of May. That's just 5 days away at 4 o'clock, which means you should get there probably 3:45 at the latest, so you can get a seat and let's get started right away. They're going to have a lot to share with us. And that's at the Astoria High School Library. If you don't know where Astoria High School is, maybe you could Google it. Because I don't know how to explain it. If you live in Astoria, I'm sure you know who it is, where it is, or just call. The number there is 503-325-3911. So you can call them and ask, where are you? How do I get there? And I want to give a big congratulations to my guests, Kylie Witherby and Dylan Pooloft. and also to getting to be, maybe already is, Dr. Jenny Newton, who is the teacher who brings so much to our, enriches our community, I would say. Again, this is Astoria High School Cultural Conversations with Community Storytellers. with residents from many populations of our town and beyond.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. Okay, folks. I have a real treat for you coming up, and I want to get it started right away so that we have time to catch it. Pam Trenary, one of our veteran jazz programmers here at KMUN, one of the originals, interviewed Daryl Grant. And rather than tell you any more, I'm going to play the interview and just let you know that the concert is happening tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center. And yes, you can go to Art Walk, and then you can head over. That's on 16th and Franklin. You can get your tickets at the door, and it is going to be quite fabulous. Daryl Grant and the Modern Jazz Quartet. Well, have a listen.
We're happy to welcome Daryl Grant to the Coast Community Airwaves today and are looking forward to his concert with his band, the MJ New Quartet, at the PAC on May the 13th. Daryl has an international reputation as a stellar pianist. He's a performer, composer, and Portland State University professor. He was recently recognized by the National Jazz Journalists Association as Portland's Jazz Hero for 2017. He and a group of musicians took a piano into Elliott Forest, the old growth preserve that's been in the news, to compose and play music in honor of our Northwest landscape. Welcome, Daryl. So glad to have you here.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
This is so interesting, combining music performance with environmental activism. Can you tell us about the Elliott Forest Project and what motivated you to do this?
Sure. Well, I got an email kind of out of the blue by a woman who was a volunteer on the Elliott Forest Watch, and she had seen an OPB special, an Artbeat special on the piece I wrote called The Territory, which was a kind of a concert-length piece that was about sort of Oregon's topography and cultural history. And so she emailed me saying, you know, you're an artist that seems to care about place and connection to place. Is there anything that you could do artistically about this situation? And I was really intrigued by her question because I've been doing a lot of thinking and, you know, writing recently about the role of artists in community and, you know, what can we do? What kind of contributions can we make? And this was particularly interesting because there was a definite timeline. I mean, there was a vote that the land board was going to take. Beginning, it was going to be April 9th, and they moved it back a month now. But I was like, okay, is there something that artists could do in this short time frame that would really impact the result, you know, impact this situation? And I put some emails on, you know, sent out some stuff out to Facebook asking, you know, my colleagues and peers and friends, like, what would you do? What if you presented with the situation, what kind of artistic contribution do you think would be really effective? And I got a lot of interesting replies. And but the thing I came up with was I thought, well, okay, so something I could do is kind of a sojourn in a way, or a pilgrimage. Like I had driven in, you know, in the Elliott down there, but I'd never really spent time there. And I thought, well, what if I were to, you know, bring my music down there? And because I play piano, I just thought, well, okay, I should trek my instrument. So,
all right.
So that's what we did.
Oh, and so you actually took the piano into the forest.
We did, yeah.
With other musicians who also had instruments?
Well, there were musicians, there were dancers, there was a poet, and there were about, you know, 50 other people who were just really interested and supportive of the issue. And they came down and listened, and we had a little, we had a concert, an hour-long concert, really down there in the forest, and it was just amazing. I mean, there amongst the fir trees and the bird calls in the open air, and fortunately it didn't rain.
So was this an improvised concert, or did you go there with things already composed?
No, we just sort of met the musicians that were there. I mean, I didn't know everybody that was coming when they came, but had a couple of wonderful guitarists, and the writer Lynn Derrick came and spoke, and Margaret Lynn, and saxophonist Michael Conley, Shoehorn Conley, and incredible dancer Luciana Prano, and she came with costumes and beautiful nature. I mean, it was really just a kind of a coming together. So, yeah, we put it together just when we got there. Just said, okay, well, let's do this. Let's try this. Let's try this.
And that's very that's totally jazz, isn't it?
Well, really, in a way. But, some of the music we played was folk things. We played, Jim Pepper's Wichitaito. We played some Bobby McFerrin music. We played, so there is a lot of music that is sort of drawn from our spiritual connections to place. And some of it is jazz and some of it's not. But we as creative musicians, that's the great thing, is just to be able to come together and find a common ground.
Exciting.
Language.
Was that recorded?
It was actually recorded and filmed. And I'm looking forward to, I just heard from the person who's filmed it, that he's sort of putting the finishing touches on the edits. And we also, guy Dan from Myrtle Glen Farms, he created this beautiful music video of myself and guitarist Cole Robinson playing a Bob Dylan song, Something When I Was Young. Ah, I can't remember exactly the title of it. But anyway, it's beautiful. So he's sort of working on that. So yes, there will definitely be a document of it. And they played some of it on Think Out Loud, some of the recordings on Think Out Loud.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing and hearing that for sure. You've had a long, evolving musical career. You've appeared in major concert halls and jazz festivals. You've been a sideman for jazz greats such as Chico Freeman and my personal all-time favorite, Betty Carter. You lived in the hub of jazz, New York City, in the 80s. Can you highlight what experiences and artists have most influenced you in your journey?
Wow. Well, let's see. If I had a couple of hours, there have been many, and there are those that had a musical influences, and those that had sort of life influences and life lessons. I mean, I think Betty Carter is one that looms the largest. I mean, first of all, because she gave me my first sort of opportunity to participate in jazz on the international stage, touring with her and performing with her. But she was also such an incredible musician and leader and, individual. So I learned an incredible number of life lessons from her about leadership, about individuality, about the demand that you really push yourself to be original. And she was great. Drummer Tony Williams, who I got to spend some time with, great Tony Williams, who played with Miles Davis, and it was really a wonderful thing that I grew up listening to that ride cymbal on records, and to be sitting on the bandstand with him and playing his compositions. That's the other thing. It was such an interesting and creative composer. So that was really a wonderful thing, and that's actually provided the my introduction to drummer Brian Blade, who has become one of my closest collaborators and dearest friends over the years. And he's another musician who has a huge influence on me, and both on his writing and his approach to music. And many of the musicians that I've gotten a chance to work with for a long time, both nationally and locally. So musicians like Mike Horsfall, who I get to play with in the MJ New, he's been a good friend. And Mike was the impetus for us starting this group, because long ago he said, you and Daryl, you and I should do something with the music of the Modern Jazz Quartet. And that was 12 years ago or something like that. It took us about 8 years to get to it. And I love, and Mike has been a collaborator on many other projects of mine. Many highlights.
Okay. Since we're talking about your band, on your website, MJ New Quartet, the music is described as everything from Bach to Jobim to Chopin to Sting and 21st century music, chamber music. Can you talk about how this band came together and the musicians in the band and what we can expect to hear at the PAC?
Sure. Well, the band came together on the instigation of Don Lukoff at the Portland Jazz Festival. They were presenting, he wanted to present a tribute concert to the MJQ, and asked me if I would be interested. And I was kind of fascinated because I'd heard that music, and but I'd never really tried to approach a lot of it. But at the same time, I love chamber music, and I'm actually a board member of the National Organization of Chamber Music America. I loved classical chamber music when I was coming up and studying in school. And so the the idea behind what the Modern Jazz Quartet did was to sort of merge, you know, classical chamber music and Bach and counterpoint and blues and American song in this really refined and cool way. It just seemed like a really great thing to do. So I called my friend bassist Marcus Shelby, who's a wonderful composer, bassist, and band leader from San Francisco, and thought he would be the ideal person to play on this, as well as my correspondent Vibes and Carlton Jackson on drums, because Carlton is one of the most tasteful drummers you could ever, and swinging drummers you'd ever meet. So I just thought this would be a great group, and we came together to do this concert, and that was like maybe 4 years ago, and we enjoyed it so much we started doing other things. We did the jazz festival down in Newport, and then some more concerts in Portland, and I realized that I really wanted to devote some energy to really developing this project and working on other collaborations and more repertoire. And over time, you know, we started with the MJQ repertoire. That's what, you know, pieces of theirs, both, you know, their arrangements and mm-hmm. things like All the Things You Are and things like, you know, Versailles and Concord and Django, of course. But then sort of gradually added more of our own repertoire. I did an arrangement that I call, totally spacing on it. there's an instrument called Bach to Brazil, which I did with my flugelhornist collaborator Dimitri Messini, which is sort of combines a Bach piece with an arrangement, a contrapuntal arrangement of Jobim's Agua de Bebe, and so that suite came together. I did another piece that we do that's based on a combination of Gigi Grice's Minority and Beethoven's For Elise, and we call that a Viennese Affair. So that's kind of a, you know, that combination. And, you know, pieces by Chopin that allow opportunities for improvisation, but also there's sort of beauty of melodicism and collaboration. So that's what we try to do. And we spice it up with, you know, some other more popular repertoire.
So your performance really has wide range appeal. It's not just for jazz fans per se at all. And I think that's really exciting that you have that range.
I agree, yeah. People that love classical music and chamber music, well, I think will really enjoy this. You know, jazz fans and fans of the MJQ will really enjoy it. But anybody who's really interested in something that's really, you know, refined, people that like French film will like this.
Good.
This music.
Good.
People that like impressionistic art.
Well,
really enjoy this music.
Yeah, we hope to fill the Performing Arts Center that night. And I think that by your description, we'll get a lot of people attending. What is your most recent recording? Have you done a recording with this band?
Well, actually, this tour is in preparation for a recording, so we're going to be doing some recording while the band is together on this performance tour. Probably, I think, just before we come to a couple days before we come to Astoria. But so that's one of the next things is that I want to release that. I think the latest thing of mine to come out is The Territory that came out in 2014. That recording.
Okay.
And but always working on other things.
Okay, good. And we'll be playing some of that recording.
You were listening to a live interview with Pam Trenary and Daryl Grant. Now you're listening to his piece From the Territory, which they spoke about, Stones into Blossoms. This is Coast Community Radio. Let me just quickly tell you again, Daryl Grant is tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, at the Performing Arts Center. I do want to let you know that the library tonight, Contours of Race, the Chinese in Astoria. Tolovan Arts Colony is having a Cannon Beach Comedy Festival tonight with Susan Rice, who was picked as Portland's funniest person. Bill Hams at the Astor Street Opry on 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night. Don't miss him. He was fantastic last week. Coaster Theater, Barefoot in the Park, this weekend, running on. And First Presbyterian Church, Catherine Clare at Baked Alaska. Don't forget, you have to call them. The Adrift, Skamakawa Grange, Hoffman Book Release, Astoria Art Walk tomorrow night. I missed out on the Old Town Framing is Gearhart Family with Maggie Schumacher and Corey Peterson. Daryl Grant, Cannon Beach Celebrate the Beach Bill, Cannon Beach Library with the Author Series, and Dan Weber, Country Folk, is at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center on Sunday. Check out the Natel Grange. They have an art show and auction of children's work, and it's a benefit for Salmonberry Play School, 3 p.m. And Trail Band Trio at Raymond Theater, part of Sunday Afternoon Live. Monday is the last day to register for the AVA Open Studio Tour in July. Seaside Library, as on Wednesday, Wildlife and the Artist, and the Astoria High School Cultural Conversations. North Oregon Coast Symphony is Tuesday, and several others. And next Thursday is the Student Art Show at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Thanks for being here, folks.